And this is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith, Helen Scales and Dave Ansell. This week we're answering all of your science questions, including a really quite important question that Helen's going to talk to us about now. Helen.
Yes, earlier on we asked Dave to get a couple of microwavable cups, place some ice cubes in one, a similar amount of water in another, and then put them both in the microwave together, switch them on and see what happens. Well, instead of trying to get the microwave down here into the studio, we've sent Dave upstairs to the kitchen. We've put him where he belongs and he's about to test out the experiment with some help of Ben. So guys, have you finished the washing up?
I'm just nearly finished now, actually. Hold on, just give me a second. There is a dishwasher here, so I probably should have
just used that. Mine's two sugars, thanks.
Right. Yeah, well, Dave has come up to join me in the kitchen. So, Dave, we're microwaving water and ice. Is that right?
Yep, that's the plan. So I've got some nice ice cubes here. We want to try and make this test as fair as possible. So we want to use exactly the same amount of ice as water.
And to do that, we're going to weigh the ice that we're using, yeah?
That's right. So I'm going to get maybe three ice cubes.
OK, nice cold ice cubes. Now, obviously, these have come from our freezer here, so they're very, very cold. They're actually quite dry to the touch. Is that important?
That will certainly help, as may become clear later. So we've got about 36 grams of ice cubes.
OK, so we've put those in a microwavable cup, so we know that that will be safe, because obviously we don't want to put anything in the microwave that won't react well to the microwave. And so now we need another 36 grams of water.
That's the plan. So I'll pour that in here.
OK, 822, nearly there. And 30. Come on, Dave, a little bit more. And that's near enough. OK, so we're making sure this is definitely a fair test by having the same amount of water and ice. And they're both in microwave-safe cups. And we're going to put them both in the microwave.
Yep, that's the plan. So I'll put these in. Put them in symmetrically about the centre, so they both go through the same number of hotspots.
So this means that they are both the same distance from the centre of the turntable, and that means that they'll go through all of the same hotspots. They'll both get exactly the same heating, again, just to make sure this is fair.
That's right. So we'll put that on, and we'll turn it on, and we'll see if we can see whether the water boils or the ice melts first.
OK, so let's just shut the door and get this switched on. How long do you expect this will last, Dave?
In the past, maybe 20 or 30 seconds, so we'll have to fill until then, Ben.
So it's not quite like defrosting a microwave meal where you really need to put it on low heat for quite a long time.
Well, yeah, it's much, much smaller than microwave meal, so you'd expect everything to happen a lot quicker.
So we're just watching these two cups of water, and at the moment, really, nothing's happening, Dave.
Not the most exciting of races yet, but we'll give it some time. We'll see what happens.
Ben, can you do my curry? It's in the freezer when you finish. Can you just pop that in? Because it'll be ready for after the show then.
I will, but Dave has just opened the microwave because the water has started boiling. So, but the ice is actually still totally solid. I mean, listen to this. I hope you can hear that. That's the sound of solid ice cubes in a glass. But the other cup was boiling away, was bubbling away madly. Dave, I really would have expected that the ice would have melted first. Surely it doesn't make sense that you can raise the water so high that it boils, gets a boiling temperature, and the ice is still solid.
Well, there's two facts. One of them is that to melt ice takes an awful lot of energy, about 27 kilojoules per millilitre, whereas heating of water takes about 4 kilojoules for every degree centigrade. So you still need a lot more energy to boil water than it should take to melt the ice.
So it's the phase change that takes up all the energy. You're not just raising the temperature, you're actually changing the phase of the material.
Yeah, that's right. But as you can see, this ice hasn't melted, so we haven't even started putting that energy in. So there's something else going on. The other thing that's going on is to do with how a microwave works. The way a microwave oven heats something is by giving out a kind of light, a kind of electromagnetic radiation called microwaves, surprisingly. These come out of the little panel at the side of the microwave. And these electromagnetic waves, and they make the electric field go point one way, then the other way, then one way, then the other way.
So basically you're just moving the electric field inside this microwave oven up and down really very quickly.
Yeah, that's right, about 2.5 billion times every second.
Wow, so really very quickly. So how does that interact with the water?
Well, water molecules have got a positive end at one end, positive hydrogen atoms, and a negative oxygen atom in the middle.
OK, and don't we call this a dipole when you have these two different ends on the same molecule?
That's right, two poles. And therefore, if the electric field points upwards, then the negative oxygen atom is going to rotate to point along the field. And if it points downwards, it's going to try and rotate back again. And this rotating, it absorbs energy, and that's what's heating it up.
So the microwave radiation makes the water molecules move up and down millions of times, and that gives it extra energy, heats it up.
Yeah.
So why hasn't this happened to the ice?
Well, in ice, all the water molecules are locked together in a big crystal structure, which means they can't rotate. They're locked much too tightly to rotate. So because they can't rotate quick enough for the microwave to absorb the microwaves, they can't absorb very much energy. So they don't heat up very quickly.
So it's not just that it takes much more energy to defrost, as it were, the ice. It's actually not absorbing the energy in the first place.
Yeah, it would probably take less energy to defrost the ice than it would to boil the water, but it's just not absorbing it.
So is this why we have to be very careful when we defrost something in the microwave? Because otherwise we get patches that are burning hot and other patches that are still frozen.
That's right. If you defrosted something on full power in the microwave, you'd find that some patches maybe might just start melting first. And as soon as it melts, it suddenly absorbs microwaves maybe 100 times better than the ice around it. So the patches which are already melted can get very hot, overcook and meet very, very quickly, whereas all the ice is going to still be solid. Which is the reason why defrost settings on the microwave are very, very slow. In fact, they only turn the microwave on maybe for a few seconds, and they turn it off for 20 or 30, then on for a few seconds. So the heat from the hot areas has got time to spread out and melt more of the frozen chicken or whatever without cooking it. And so very gently you can heat it up and melt it.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know that you are very fond of doing experiments with microwaves, and we've got quite a few on the website at thenakedscientists.com/kitchenscience, including measuring the speed of light with a microwave. So are you going to put a full explanation of this so that people can read it online?
Yes, in a couple of days' time, that'll be up.
Fantastic. So go online, have a look. There's a few other experiments you can do. And Chris, I will get your curry out of the freezer and get it in. It should be nice and toasty, ready for the end of the show.
Excellent. That's all. We're always a bit hungry by the end of the show. Thanks, guys. That was a brilliant kitchen science. So make sure you check out the website, thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, to have a look at what we were up to.